Give a short introduction here, get the slides going. But yeah, my name's David Cervenka, my lovely wife, Danielle. Our kids are running around here somewhere. Feel free to greet them. They love speaking in English. So actually, in all seriousness, this is a blessing just for us to be. I came to know the Lord as a senior in the University of North Texas, met my wife here, and we don't often have an opportunity to gather and sing as loud as we want in English and just to pray. This is, just really, really a huge blessing to us. Thank you. We've been living there for roughly 7 years off and on, and we work in Japan. So you change the slide there. It's the second largest unreached people group in the world, less than 1% Christian. And it's just historically one of the most resistant cultures to the gospel. We were told that I should not expect to see many people come to know the Lord in Japan. And so, suicide is probably the leading cause of death. And I think men and women over 35 and beyond. It's 126 million people right now. All crammed into, that's about half the population of the U.S., I think, all crammed into a space a little bit smaller than California. The population has actually declined in the last 7 years. It's on its way down, very low birth rate, aging population. But what we do, we do our best to obey the Great Commission. So this passage is near and dear to us. I learned from a friend and have checked it, and what's cool is it's even more accurate in the Japanese translation, but when Jesus says, make disciples of all nations, I always interpret it as, well, as long as I go out and, make a few disciples, proclaim the gospel every now and then, I'm doing this. But actually, the Greek, it says, disciple all nations. The command is to disciple whole nations and all nations. And that's a bigger, overwhelming task, but he said we're doing it in his authority and that he's with us every step of the way. And what's beautiful about this is the way that you do it is included in the passage. He actually tells us exactly what to do. And when you see the gospel played out in the book of Acts, as the gospel spread through cities and regions, and it says there were cities full of joy and full of the teaching of the gospel, they were doing this. And it's, you go, you engage with lost people, proclaim the gospel. 9 times out of 10 in the New Testament, it's a person sharing the gospel, one person to another. Baptize them when they believe. And then teach them to obey everything the Lord commanded you, which includes this great commission. And so really, honestly, we have done our best to only do those things. So we try to say no to other things that kind of get in the way. And we're blessed to serve on a team of missionaries. We serve about 13 missionaries in different parts of Japan, and we try to help them focus on these things. The other thing is we do is we help Japanese people do these. So we serve churches and partner with them and just teach them how do you talk to a lost person? How do you proclaim the gospel? How do you share that, just person to person? How do you baptize someone? Where can you baptize them? Where is it okay? What does the Bible say? And what does it mean to really disciple someone and teach them to follow Jesus? And just a few stories to share with you here. This was one of my favorites because what we're seeing is that actually Japanese people are open to the gospel. When we open our mouths and we share, and when it's actually what's cool is the Japanese people, when we train churches, they're way more effective than we are. And so some of my greatest joys have been passing this on to others. But I was meeting with this guy in the upper left-hand corner at McDonald's, and I was trying to convince him the harvest is plentiful. Like, there's people all around us ready to hear the gospel, and all we need to do is share. And we were talking back and forth. He had lots of questions, and our time was almost up, and I intended to go out and actually do some evangelism with him. But I just stood up. I needed a moment. I walked to the trash can to throw something away, and I just prayed. I said, God, I'm almost out of time. Would you just bring someone to sit right next to us that is open to the gospel so I can show him that the harvest is plentiful? And literally, this is just, I just walked over through the trash away, turned around, and this woman sat down right next to where I was sitting. And I made eye contact with her. She made eye contact with me, which is actually unusual in Japan. And I said, hey, it's nice day outside, isn't it? She said, yes, it is. So I'm like, okay, we're here. We can talk. And I always say the same thing. I say, can I share a short story with you? It takes about 3 minutes. And can I hear your honest response afterwards? And she said, yes. And as soon as I said, the world we live in is broken, isn't it? And she said, yes, yes, it is. And instantly I'm like, wow, she's here with me. We're engaging. And then I said, but that's not how it was created. You know, there's a good God that created this to be a wonderful place without sickness and death and pain. And she said, yes, indeed. And she actually started to tear up. And I'm like, what is this? Like, what's going on? So at first I was rejoicing. I thought I'd, you know, just found a Christian. But we got into it more, and it turned out she had been attending a Jehovah's Witness gathering very resolutely for, you know, more than 10 years. But what was great was that she'd felt, as she was reading the Bible, she was like, something's wrong. You guys got something wrong here. Like, Jesus is God. Don't you see it? Like, you know, if he's not God, he can't walk on water and multiply loaves. And everyone was like, oh, yeah, yeah, thanks. But so when I shared the gospel with her, she's like, that's what my heart believes. And it was, we just walked her right through that. We started meeting weekly. This picture, actually, we were training her to, you know, what we were talking through the Great Commission in this picture. And she was started to get real embarrassed. And she said, I haven't actually written on a piece of paper in front of anyone in my whole life. She's like, I was only schooled through elementary school. And anyway, just really special person. She got baptized and is following the Lord and even passing the gospel on to her friends and family. Yeah, go ahead and change the slide. This is a woman named Teruko. It's a really long, cool story. I don't know how to share it shortly, but she was baptized this summer and is already passing the gospel on to her family, has her own Bible study going. This is Yoji. What was cool about this guy is that I was meeting with some other missionaries. Again, I kind of coach missionaries. We obey the Great Commission, and we teach others to obey the Great Commission. And I just said, hey, what do you need in your ministry like to advance this? If you could ask God for anything, what is it? And what's cool is all three of us in that meeting, we prayed that we would have Japanese local partners. And specifically, I said, would you give me a local Japanese bilingual partner that really, you know, believes in reaching the city and making disciples? And a week later, I met this guy, and he had been trying to transition his church for 6 years into disciple-making practices, and he was praying for help. And we met, and we were just praying for each other. And so this is a wonderful connection, and their church, you can go ahead and change the slide. We've been training their church, and over the last year, they baptized 6 people and formed several new small groups. And on average, a church baptizes maybe 1 person a year. So they're seeing great results. You can go and change. And this is, yeah, Tex and Mayumi Watanabe on the right. That's them dropping us at the Alpha the airport like 11 days ago. He's one of the guys that was in that room praying for a partner. I'll tell that story in just a minute. But what was neat about him is we'd done an evangelism training at a church. It was about 1,000 person member church, which is really unusual. The average church size is about 30 people in Japan. But we made an appeal, who wants to learn evangelism? And 12 people said yes, and I got to work with them for 4 weeks. He was in that group, and his nickname is Tex. His Japanese name is Tetsuo, but I'm a proud Texan. So as soon as I heard that, I was like, man, you and I are going to be partners. But what was interesting is it really was a God-ordained connection. That the very first night, I didn't even teach a gospel tool or anything. I just encouraged them. The harvest is plentiful. We went out that night, he led someone to the Lord, came back the next week, like, what do I do next? And so he and I have been working closely together. Because my Japanese is terrible, he was interpreted for me. And over the course of about a year, he learned how to do everything I was doing, started doing it better. And I've been he's working in a very, very, one of the least churched areas of Tokyo. And he prayed with me for a partner that day in his local city. Well, he met this Filipino missionary that was praying for a bilingual Japanese partner in her city, and they were wanting to make disciples. And it's an international congregation just teaching the same things, those three basic core Great Commission. And since in the last, I believe it's been 2 years, they've seen 300 salvations through that, 25 new small groups. And it's a lot of those are actually multiplying in the Philippines. And we saw a whole family get baptized last winter together, and just God's doing some really neat things. So you can maybe speed through. This is actually our church. We have a pretty small, we just gather as a few missionaries and some Japanese, but all of these people are leading out doing what we do with other groups, other congregations, and there's a lot of groups by, you know, God's great grace multiplying from this community. Next slide. This is another missionary family lives in an unreached city. Well, the whole nation's unreached, but is one of the least reached rural areas. And then, you can go and go to the last place. Just wanted to yeah, say thank you, guys. Thank you so much for partnering with us in all the ways that you do. We especially would love to have your prayers. If you're interested, come find me. I have some fridge magnets, or you can, and my email's on there. You can email me how to get our newsletter. But we just would love for you to pray. Honestly, if you just think about us, even it's 2 years from now, Colossians 1, 9 through 14 has it all. Just be filled with the knowledge of God's will and strengthened with his power. And you can see in the passage all these wonderful things flow from those two things. But just for more laborers, the harvest is great. I didn't hear that. I heard the harvest was not great in Japan. It is great, and we need more laborers. So please pray for more laborers, and specifically Japanese laborers, for unity and closeness in our team, and wisdom and strength to fight the spiritual battle well. It is a tangible spiritual war where we live. We're in our, like a square kilometer from where we live, there's 9 temples and shrines, and man, we just feel the pressure all the time. We'd love for your prayers. And again, just want to say thank you guys for your partnership with us.